Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Greetings, I'm Trevor Dan. For this week's episode, we're back in Paris at Radio Days Europe. In a minute, our old pal James Cridland will assess the state of radio worldwide. But first, one of the most interesting speakers at any conference, Ralph Van Dyke, runs the creative agency Eardrum, which was founded in London 25 years ago but is now based in Australia. I think you'll be fascinated by some of the things he has to say about how we talk about radio to people outside the industry and also how we sell our stations on air.
We're an agency that we specialise in producing radio advertising, and I started the agency 25 years ago because I loved writing for the medium. It was fun. I got my creative jollies from it. But I didn't have for a second think that for the next 25 years I have to start every meeting justifying the existence of radio. And I can't imagine any other medium has that issue. So, you know, an advertising agency goes present their TV idea and they don't start by going, okay, well, TV is actually quite a good thing. You should be on there. And everyone goes, yeah, that's why we've commissioned it. So radio, I think, has to brand itself differently and has to realise that things have changed. The product that radio was needs to change and needs to be repackaged and repositioned for today's audience, and the audience I'm talking about is marketing managers and advertisers.
There's a lot of talk about that in the Connected Car session with Fred Jacobs and Michael Hill. I don't know whether you
yeah,
went to that, did you?
Yeah.
But they were talking about how they've had to go around to car manufacturers and say, look, the radio, people listen to it, they
yeah.
like it.
Yeah, and it's crazy that that message hasn't got through. I guess, and part of the problem is that radio people are deciding how to brand radio.
Ah, it's all our fault.
No, well, I just think that it's like any business, and we work with lots of businesses, and it's common that they are so close to the industry or their own business that they forget or they've lost sight of why people come to them in the first place. And then when people stop coming to them, they're equally ignorant. And so being forced to explain your relevance and redefine your product for other people who are non-radio listeners or non-radio people is the challenge I think that radio needs to do.
James Cridland is always going on about getting rid of transmitter mindset. And one of the things that I take from that is that we start off from point one, we're a radio station. Mm. And maybe what we should be doing is saying, point one, we're a content provider and we are a conduit through which people can engage with one another, and we happen to have a radio transmitter.
Yeah, and that's the main way we do it, because it solves a problem that people have and they need something to do while they're doing something else. So that's great, that's its core competency, but you're right, it needs to be more than just a transmitter. And when you focus on the connection that radio has and the relationship that it has with people, that's the thing that we should be selling. We shouldn't be selling airtime. We should be promoting communication and a unique way of communicating that is truly and completely radios alone.
How would you get that across then to not necessarily one of the big groups, because they've got more data than they know what to do with? How would you get that across to a small radio station somewhere in Europe that's struggling to get its message across?
Focus on the audience. And talk to the audience, and depending, you know, I'm talking about the audience again of advertisers, what do they need, what's the problem that they need solved, and then define their business, their radio station, on helping solve that problem. I mean, they need to generate an audience first and foremost, so I'm assuming they know how to do that. But then position their own marketing in a way that talks directly about the problems that their advertisers are having now. And the problems they're facing now are very different from what they were, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
And are you saying that we should be challenging the way that we, for instance, just automatically say, well, we'll get the travel sponsored, we'll get the weather sponsored, we'll have so many minutes of spot ads in our breakfast show? Do we need to pull back from some of that kind of orthodoxy?
I think so. I think we need to experiment, certainly. And we've had ideas, proactive ideas, that the advertisers love. And we've gone to radio stations and go, oh, no, that won't fit in the format. I said, OK, maybe you should look at the format. Because you're a commercial radio station, and I know that, you know, next week you're going to complain that this particular category of advertiser isn't using radio.
Can you give me an example of that?
I'll give you an example for a bank that we're working with. I'll give you the brand name because the campaign hasn't broken yet. But they want to be associated with, they want to target the top end of their customer base and the high net worth earners. So they want to be associated with premium of some sort. So we've come up with some short form programming, 3 or 4 minutes, that talks about the history of luxury brands, going into, and then the fascinating stories of these brands, beautiful sort of historic tales and madness and intrigue and murder and stuff. So we're talking about those brands, and this little piece of audio was brought to you by this bank. And so they're associating themselves with the world's most premium brands. And best of all, the brands themselves, those luxury brands, are actually helping fund the stories we're telling. So it's a lovely combination, and those brands would never have touched radio in the past, but they've got their own environment now. So not only the bank, but the brands themselves telling very authentic stories and giving some history about the product.
And our radio station saying, hang on a minute, we don't want 3 or 4 minute short form programs, we want ads.
Sure, and yeah, that's absolutely what they're saying. And you can continue, you know, just doing the same thing and good luck. But if you want to really capture the imagination of the advertiser who's looking to be the entertainment, not just be next to the entertainment, then you're going to lose those people. And that's the mindset of the marketing directors that are coming through. Not just to be the traditional interruptive style advertising, which, you know, still works. I mean, that's our bread and butter as our agency. You know, most of what we do is in the ad break. But we also then take that advertiser and find new ways within the station to have a voice and be part of broad entertainment.
I know the podcast world is very different, but it's interesting, isn't it, how they seem to be able to find people like MailChimp, you know, or the US Postal Service or whoever it is, to just allow them to say, this program was brought to you by or made with support from. Mm. Do advertisers understand that around the world?
Well, they know the power of an endorsement, and that's what they're doing with most of the podcast advertising at the moment. I think that's going to change because the presenters are now voicing so many sort of live reads, if you like, that the power and the weight of that endorsement is, I think, reducing. So there are more sort of brand-style ads appearing on podcasts, but it's very difficult because if you sound too much like a radio ad, it's so incongruous to the environment of a podcast. You've already got my attention. You don't need to do a big song and dance. I'm listening. Just take your time. Speak to me in a conversational tone, and I'll hear you out. So I think advertisers definitely know the power of an endorsement, and they know the benefit of going to a very targeted audience. So that's why they've identified the audiences for Reply All and This American Life and WTF and those things. They go, I want a bit of them, and I know I'm going to get fewer than I would if I got on a radio station, but they're going to be so exactly who I want, then I'll pay a little bit more for it if you endorse it.
Just one other thing. I'm really interested to hear what you think about another sort of feeling I have, that advertising is a bit shouty. Mm. I'm hearing radio stations where the content is all about, hello, thanks for listening, we're engaging with you in a soft and congenial manner, interrupted by, hello, we're great, we're 107 The Beaver!
Yeah.
Whoa, calm down.
I know.
Well, are we having too much of that stuff?
Oh, but that's been a major problem with radio for years. And, you know, the whole empty vessel, you know, loud noise, that's exactly. And most of the reason is that there isn't an idea in the script. Mm. And for some reason, radio, particularly when people are first starting to write radio advertising, they start writing before they've had the idea. And then the presenter looks at it and goes, well, there's no idea, there's a voiceover or whatever. And it just so goes, well, I've got to make this sound good, so I'll just over-enunciate everything and project it and try and make it sound more exciting because there's nothing else in there. Mm. So it's desperation.
And then there's also that thought, isn't there, that the presenter is a nice and gentle person, so if we're going to have interstitial imaging, we've got to employ some shouty bloke.
Oh, no, don't get me started on the imaging as well. It's just, I mean, a couple of stations are doing it really well. I think Jack does it well, and Absolute and Talk Sport, I think they do some good imaging. But, I mean, that's the way radio talks about itself. And if all we've got is filtered voices this week now, it's just like, is that it?
Yeah.
That's not
my
what I've tuned
on
in.
The BBC is on 5 Live. It's on smartphone, on tablet, you know, yeah. There's a long list of devices as if that's really helping me enjoy their show.
No shit, Sherlock.
Yes.
I mean, really? It's an electronic thing on an electronic device. Yeah, who would have thought?
Ralph, thank you. Could talk to you all day.
Thanks, Trevor.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
These days it's very difficult to bump into James Cridland, radio futurologist, unless, of course, you're on the streets of Brisbane. But you have deigned to join us in Europe, James. How's it going? You're one of the organisers of Radio Days Europe, so you can't say too much other than it's great. But it's been great, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really good. Good day, Trevor, I should say. Yes, it's been a really good, another couple of days full of tremendous passion about radio. And really where the European radio industry meets. And, by the way, seemingly very many more people from the US, from Canada, from
62
Australia.
62 countries.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tremendous event. Largest radio conference in the world.
Let's move away from this extremely noisy screen in the background. If we walk this way, James, we'll find somewhere that's been equally noisy at times. Have you had a go at Radio France's binaural?
I have not had a go at Radio France's binaural. What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that you should, actually, because it's quite good. So for you, then, we should just catch up with you on a personal level. How's it going down there?
It's very nice. It's very warm. I'm sort of slowly learning how to swim. That's a benefit. It's really interesting. It's a very vibrant radio market. It's really interesting trying to sort of re-understand the brands which are out there and try and understand the Australian psyche and all of that. But I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. And what does it give you in terms of perspective on the UK? Because we do live in this kind of British bubble, don't we? And then we go abroad and somehow we're perhaps not as important as we think we are.
No, I mean, I think it's interesting in Australia in that there's still an awful lot of links back to the UK. 1 out of 10 people in Brisbane are Brits, so I'm not unusual. And there's lots of UK television, certainly, in the market. Much less UK radio, interestingly. So that I can get the World Service on DAB+, on SBS Radio 4, but that's kind of it. So it's interesting tuning around. And one of the big surprises to me has been the breadth of programming on the ABC, which some of it is what you would expect from a local radio station, and some of it is tremendously interesting on some of, ABC Radio National. You get documentaries, you get some really interesting, sometimes just audio from conferences. So it was an audio from a conference all about how television's changing. And it was just really interesting hearing that and the sort of radio that we don't get in the UK.
So you are a futurologist. Here's the question only you can answer. The future of radio then, James? I'm feeling quite good at the moment about it.
Yeah, I've always said that, radio has a tremendous future. We need to obviously change what we're doing to make sure that we're relevant for a new generation. But yeah, I think, radio is showing itself, particularly here where we seem much more comfortable with things coming down the track. We seem much more comfortable with the whole concept of on-demand radio. Connected cars, personalization, all that kind of stuff. It's no longer, oh my God, danger. It's, there are changes coming. It's going to be a challenge to us, but we know that we're there because we have the talent, we have the people, we have the great storytelling. That's what radio is all about.
Thank you, James. Better let you go. The convict boat leaves shortly.
Thank you, Trevor.
Visual radio, smarter and cheaper. Virtual director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
David Lloyd's here in a minute with some more radio moments. Now, though, let's have some news from Stuart Clarkson.
Thanks, Trevor. The second national DAB multiplex from Sound Digital Limited now has 18 fully launched stations. Premier Praise and Virgin Radio began their programmes in the last week, with Virgin doing a launch show live from a moving train heading from Manchester to London. Two lots of Community Radio Awards have been announced, with ceremonies for both due to take place in the autumn. One of them appears to have the backing of the Community Media Association. You can look them both up for details, communityradioawards.com and communityradioawards.co.uk. Two hospital radio stations in the South East are merging. The Jumbo Sound from GAHR at Goodmayes Hospital, which has been going for the last 40 years, had some trouble last year following flooding at its studios. It's now agreed to take all programmes from neighbouring service Bedrock Radio, studio in Romford. And good luck to Mike Chadwick, who's left Jazz FM this week after 22 years with the brand. He's off to do new things, including some artist management and a fortnightly show on soulandjazz.com with the European Jazz Union. The new weekend late night schedule on Jazz Means Something Else with Jez Nelson will be on Sunday nights from 10, while Chris Phillips's The Blueprint Show moves to an earlier time slot on Saturday nights. And Ruth Fisher joins Jazz FM for a new contemporary jazz programme, which goes out in the early hours of Sunday mornings. And a reminder, you'll find industry news on the hour, every hour, on In Radio. For now, that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Radio Moments. Radio Moments.
We start this week with the best boat race commentary ever.
Both crews ripping up the stroke and coming into a rail fighting finish. Now, both crews obviously had the most grueling race and one of the greatest races that had ever been, ever boat races ever had. And the perfect conditions too. Oxford in the lead, I think. I don't know, but I think. It's almost neck and neck. It's level, I should think. I'm not quite sure. It must be level. Cambridge picking up the stroke. I think Cambridge are ahead. I don't know who's ahead. It's either Oxford or Cambridge.
26th of March, 1949, and the voice famously of John Snag. And it wasn't the only smile of the week in history.
Thanks, Bob. Listening to that, Tim Bonner from the Countryside Alliance, an organisation which is, of course, pro-hunting. Have you ever known a law so open?
Nicky Campbell's spoonerism from this week in 2010. And there must have been something in the water this week in history.
The award-winning screenwriter Abby Mann has died at the age of 80. He won an Academy Award in 1961 for Judgment at Nuremberg. Abby Mann also won several Emmys, including one in 1973 for a film which featured a...
The best ever on-air corpsing from Radio 4's Charlotte Green this week, 8 years ago. It's 53 years now since the Caroline Bell rang for the first time and UK pop radio began at last.
You're tuned to Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station.
The report that had come out, the government report that had come out in 1962, to say there was absolutely no evidence that there was any need for all-day music in a station, was just complete and absolute hogwash. If all the committees that are set up are even half as wrong as that committee was, we're in bad shape.
This is Simon D talking to you on behalf of all of us on Radio Caroline. Here, 4.5.
Disc jockey Simon D and founder Ronan O'Reilly on Radio Caroline, the first of our pirate ships launching from the North Sea this week in 1964. And those stations, of course, brought real commercial radio with real commercials.
And various times throughout the week, we prepare a whole series of master tapes, one master tape for each day of the week for each ship. And on this master tape, we record each of the commercials that are required throughout the day in the order that they're required. And then these master tapes are simply played off in sequence right throughout the day on the ship as per the advertising schedule that goes out to the ship with the tape, so that all the commercials are there in the order they're wanted.
And the station chose to carry a maximum of 6 minutes of ads per hour. Today's stations carry, what, 12 or more sometimes? This week in 2009, after over 14 years of using the Century name, the Century radio stations were renamed Real Radio. The Real Radio brand spreading, and that name was to last 3 more years before becoming Heart. A BBC local station changed name this week. 42 years ago, what was Radio Teesside became Radio Cleveland.
All day long, Radio Cleveland from the BBC. News and information for you.
Radio Cleveland, the new name for what was Radio Tees this week in 1974, as the County of Cleveland formed. It's now BBC Tees. 5 years ago, Radio 1 said farewell, Joe Wiley.
My final one, I think, is going to be... I'm going to play Elton John, A Tiny Dancer, because I remember before Elton was particularly fashionable, before it kind of went full cycle and he came back again, and I remember playing Elton John, A Tiny Dancer on the radio and being really excited I could play this song on the radio. And then he kind of became like this icon and started talking about how much he loved Eminem and everyone loved him. I was like, oh, OK, I played him before he was fashionable again.
Oh, great. OK, well, this is Elton John and Tiny Dancer.
Jo Wiley hosting her last BBC Radio 1 show alongside Ricky Gervais this week in 2011. A legend is 50 this week.
My radio station in Warrington was Piccadilly in Manchester, and it was so exciting because it was all new and young, and it was just very hip. And the first thing they did was they did road shows everywhere around the Northwest, and they did one from the window of a shop in Bridge Street in Warrington, and Pete Baker was the DJ, and I went to see him, and he played Bright Eyes when it was a hit, and it came, and Tragedy by the Bee Gees, and I thought, oh, this is good.
A happy and presumably busy 50th birthday, Christopher James Evans, and also congratulations this week to this BBC station.
Good morning. Welcome to a new network, Radio 5 Live, news and sport from the BBC, 24 hours a day. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, the 28th of March. I'm Jane Garvey, and this is Morning Reports. The news headlines. 30 are dead in...
The early moments of BBC 5 Live this week, 22 years ago. And the newsreaders on 5 Live are fairly conversational in nature, aren't they? Not like their early BBC colleagues.
There is the news, and this is Freddie Cries with reading.
We're interrupting programmes to make the following announcement.
This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news, and this is Bruce Belfridge reading it.
This is the BBC Home Service, and here is the news.
Goodness. And this week in 78, we said farewell to Wilfred Pickles, said to be the first northern newsreader on the BBC.
This is the BBC Home and Forces programme. Here's the news. This is Wilfred Pickles reading it. This morning's news of Japan's aggression is of successful countermeasures against the invasion of Malaya.
He still hid that accent well, didn't he? Wilfred also famously hosted Have a Go, the quiz show which ran for more than 20 years.
And that brings our first personality to the microphone, and she's a very charming lady with nice grey hair and a very nice grey frock. It's very nice to have you here. Yes. Will you tell me your name?
Mrs. Florence Holmes.
Mrs. Florence?
Yes.
Have a go, Flo. Mrs. Florence Holmes, where do you live?
Wally Road, Chickleworth.
Farewell, Wilfred Pickles, this week, 38 years ago. And another great voice of a very different kind counted down his last Radio 1 chart this week that same year.
Wuthering Heights from Kate Bush at number one for the third week in a row. And that's all from me, Tom Brown, and my producer, Bernie Andrews. I've much enjoyed doing this show, as I'm sure will Simon Bates, who takes over the top 20 from next Sunday onwards, so be sure to listen in. Have a lovely Easter, and don't forget that Radio 1 is back tomorrow at 8 o'clock with Ed Stewart and Junior Choice.
Tom Brown hosting his final chart on Radio 1 and, of course, on Radio 2's FM frequencies as well, this week in 1978. So with Radio 2 stopping FM frequency sharing this week 26 years ago...
FM all the way for you now, for the very best of listening pleasure.
The BBC Children's Hour ending 52 years ago...
Hello, children everywhere.
And LBC going into receivership 22 years ago...
Now it's time to turn to tonight's dog results.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
That's it for another week. Thanks to researcher Hayley Hayes, to Ralph Van Dyke and James Cridland, to David Lloyd and Stuart Clarkson, and of course to you for listening. This has been a TDC production for Radio Today. See you next time. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.